Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Serena Williams, Maria Sharapova. Global sporting stars with an Aussie contingent on the rise. Playing to fans on every continent, from London to Paris to New York. Featuring players from nearly 200 countries, playing for over $100 million in prize money. And a share of it right here in Australia's sporting capital, with one of four majors played at Melbourne Park.
Serena puts it out wide. It's this time. This time it's good from Serena Williams. And she wins her sixth Australian Open title here on Rod Laver Arena.
Yeah, I just really can't believe it. I really can't.
Yeah.
There's Djokovic. Goes out wide. Lunging forehand. Now he goes straight towards Murray's forehand. Djokovic wins the Australian Open because Murray goes straight into the net. And he looks to the heavens here, Novak Djokovic. He is the king of Melbourne Park. There is no doubt about it.
If we didn't have a love and passion for this sport, we wouldn't be here. So all these results and achievements are incentive and motivation more for me to keep on going.
This is the First Serve, talking tennis on 11:16 SEN.
Morning, everybody. 7 minutes after 11, as we continue to talk tennis right throughout the summer between 11 and midday every Sunday. Thank you to Harps and Jackie Ladder. Always good listening, the science of sport. Good learning, too. Make sure you're tuning in from 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. But we are, of course, counting down to the first major of the year, the Australian Open. At Melbourne Park, there is never a shortage of tennis news. And starting tonight, the top eight in the world of men's tennis will be fighting it out for the ATP World Tour Finals in London. We've got the Fed Cup Final going on this weekend, the Czech Republic taking on Russia. We've got some Australians playing around the globe. We've got some special guests on the program today. We're going to preview the Apia Sydney International. We'll catch up with Vivian Christie, as always, from the Australian Tennis Magazine. We'll go locally too, because Rosswood Tennis Club, we're going to focus on them, their big family day next week, to really grow the game locally. And we'll have a chat to Rob Peterson a little bit later on from the Tennis Coaches Association, who have linked in beautifully with the USTA. It's a really good partnership. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. I cannot do this show without my main man, Paul Aitken, who, well, I've got to say, folks, he showed me a photo about 20 minutes ago, dressed as his wife.
Oh, no.
Last night at his 40th. I'm going to air with it, Paul, because...
Oh, no. Please,
unbelievable.
Please.
I didn't even recognise you. The fancy dress last night for Mrs. A, if she's listening. Is she up and about?
I think she might be, mate. I tell you what, I know how Dustin Hoffman felt and Mrs. Doubtfire.
You did a beautiful job.
I had a go.
Looked majestic last night.
Thanks,
you're fresh as a daisy.
Oh, I am, mate. But you, yourself, you've had a bit of a mop chop. That's
a little bit. I went to the barber yesterday.
Getting ready for the showdown. Just
That's right. Yeah. Trying to be economical over the summer.
Absolutely.
Don't want too much wispy action hanging over the forehead.
No, can't have that.
Plenty going on in the world of tennis. We've got the best eight. Did you like the ATP World Tour Finals? Is it something you sit down and really watch? I mean, here we are. We've got the cream of the crop, haven't we, this week?
Yeah, look, it's got such a gladiatorial feel about it that you're down to the last eight guys. They're just like rock stars. They appear. It's a marathon, not a sprint, this event. You've got, with the round robin, it's possible to win a match. It's possible to lose a match and then go on and win it. Mm. It's fascinating, and that's not a concept that players are used to.
No, that is right. Let's hear from some of the players as we set the scene for the ATP World Tour Finals. It starts tonight, our time, over at the O2 Arena in London.
This is special because it's different to other tournaments. The format is different. The atmosphere was amazing, the O2, the city of London. It's a very great tournament.
Very honored to be number one player in Japan and Asia right now. Very happy, you know, to be here.
Glad to be back. It's been another good and successful season so far, so I'm really looking forward for this run here in London. And yeah, that's just the goal, you know, just have a good and strong start.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be back here. For me, it was the goal of the year. I love the atmosphere. I love the tournament. It's a great place to play tennis.
Great. No, the first thing is great because I being here is because I am qualified. No, so just happy to be back in one of the best tournaments of the world.
It's against all of the top guys that you're playing against, and you really want to win against them and perform well and put on entertaining matches for the fans. It's an unbelievable stadium, and people are coming to watch the best tennis players in the world, and they expect, you know, good performances.
Because it's one of the greatest tournaments we have in the game. So obviously that gets you very excited.
with only the top eight being allowed to play, for me to be part of it is a huge honor and a privilege, and to be part of it for so many years is a very cool thing.
It's a very, very special event that is organized in a very high level, of course, and for us it's crown of all achievements we had throughout the season, and this is where it all ends on the tour level, and you want to be able to finish the season in the best possible way.
The names Djokovic, Murray, Federer, Wawrinka, Nadal, Burdick, Ferrer and Nishikori all in London this week. And reading Linda Pierce in The Age today, who we should congratulate, Linda, winner this week of the Ron Bookman Media accepting that award for media excellence. Great writer. And she says here, Paul, there seems to be an oddly muted response to Novak Djokovic's all-conquering season that will end with this week's ATP World Tour Finals in London. Yes, there is respect and admiration, but there has been little of the swooning afforded the majestic Roger Federer in his pomp. I mean, we've sort of become used to this, that there's not a great overall universal love for Novak Djokovic.
No,
there is
not.
Respect. He's only lost five matches for the year. He continues to set records, break records, but he certainly doesn't have the admiration, the following, that real sort of, I want a photo with you, Novak, as Roger gets wherever he goes right around the world. Now, that might change in the years to come, but right now he doesn't quite have that same popularity.
No, I think you're quite right, but often as people are, when they're at the end of their time, they start to even get a little bit more popular. There's a bit more sympathy comes out if they have a couple of bad losses, and that perhaps will happen to him, but I don't think that'd be a massive concern to him and his camp. He'd be pretty happy at the moment with what is he, how many matches this year?
78 and 5.
So the guy has just maximised his athletic potential. He
phenomenal.
Is a gun.
I feel like this season is even better than 2011. And also, I'm in love with the game. That means practising and preparing, constantly striving. Nobody can be perfect. But if you're going for the perfection, you might reach excellence. 78 and 5, including the past 22 straight matches. I can get better is the headline today. That's scary for the rest of the top 10 and just men's tennis in general, because he's a guy at 28 who might be set for a real golden period over the next 4 or 5 years.
Oh, absolutely. His attack, his counter-attack, his defence is outstanding. If you're a coach out there looking to teach functional modern-day swing shapes, look no further. This is the guy. He just uses his hips so well to generate power.
Yeah, he does. 9429 1116. You can talk tennis with us anytime. A family pass from the Australian Open guided tour down at Melbourne Park. Thanks to our good friends at Tennis World. We're giving one of those away to everyone that calls in. And just the gap. I mean, Andy Murray, if he has a good week, potentially could be the world number two by the end of the week. But Djokovic has beaten him 10 of the last 11 times. So that's the gap, Paul, between one and two.
Well, I've done a bit of a summation of how I think this tournament will roll out.
Okay.
And I think really there's only five people that can possibly win it.
Right.
And I put number five, Nadal, with a bit of an asterisk because I think the stars would have to align.
Never won this before. Two-time finalist.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I think you've clearly got Djokovic on his own. Then I think it's possibly out of Federer and Murray. I'd like Federer because I think he's been to the final of the two majors. Those two matches were close in the first set. He had some chances. I think, as you've just pointed out, I think Djokovic owns Murray and possibly Federer.
Mm.
But I think Federer, if it comes down to it, will beat Murray. So, and Wawrinka, he has the consistency to win, but I don't think he's, where he is with his periodisation in the season, I don't think his competitive physiology is really ready to take that step.
So Nishikori, well, second time he's been in London. He was there last year and he's coming under a bit of an injury cloud, but he's declared he's right to go. But
no, mate, put a...
You wouldn't think he's going to feature
win.
This week, no.
I don't think Ferrer can win.
No.
And
Big Thomas.
Burdick, making up the numbers, mate.
Thomas is in his sixth consecutive World Tour Finals. But
wonderful players. But
exceptionally good players. I mean, you don't get into the top 10 if you haven't got any talent.
No,
but the gap between one and then 2 and 3, and then the gap between, say, 2, 3, 4 to 5, 6
correct.
And beyond, it's enormous. So good
correct.
Luck to the guys who are currently sitting between 10 and 20, and a lot of those haven't made any inroads.
Mm.
And now we're waiting to see whether Tomic, Dominic Thiem, Jack Sock, and a few others start to emerge over the next period. But it's going to be tough because these guys, apart from Federer, are still in their late 20s. So they've still got a little, you know, part of a golden period still to come.
Yeah, well, if you look at the win-loss ratios, what have you, we've just already mentioned 78-5, Djokovic, Federer 59-10 this year, Murray 68-12, played a little bit more.
Yep.
Wawrinka 53-16, which surprised me. I didn't think he'd probably lost that much. And Nadal 58-19, probably territory he's not usually in. But that sums it up, doesn't it?
Like, yeah.
That's how good you have to be to have that ratio to even make this event.
Yeah, no doubt. So it all starts tonight. Djokovic and Nishikori are going to kick it off. Federer and Burdick, that'll be the singles action on day one. We do have an Australian representation, of course, in the doubles.
Yes,
and there are, I think, four or five of the pairings who could end the season as the world number one doubles pairing. And John Peers, obviously, and Jamie Murray, who are going to split after this tournament.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
Which we're still sort of scratching our head a little. But, you know, there's always things going on behind the scenes that we're not quite totally aware of. And we were certainly, in the last week, we've sort of been informed off air that maybe not all is well in the camp between the two, which, you know, is interesting considering the success they've had.
Well, I think that would have to be almost obvious if they were splitting up, wouldn't it? I mean, it's just an amazing thing to me that even, you know, as Woodbridge was saying a week or two ago, just guys, get over it.
Yep.
I mean, if you've had a successful partnership where you've won hundreds of thousands of dollars together and you've made two finals, I just keep riding the wave.
But they're not going to. They're going to go their separate ways. They're the fourth seed. So what under John Peers? I mean, a huge moment for him to play at the O2 Arena on the biggest of stages.
Yeah, wonderful.
You know, great reward for a guy who's battled pretty hard and made a little bit of a success of his career.
And you've watched world-class doubles action. Yeah. It's exciting. It's fast. It's a lot different to watching singles. It's a breath of fresh air when you see a great doubles match.
The Bryan brothers, of course, will be there. Champions at this event 2003, 04, 09 and also 2013. So Peers and Murray, Bellelli and Fanini will be the Italian pairing. You've got, of course, Rohan Bopanna of India, who's been around a long time, and also Florin Mergea. They are in the group Ash and Smith. And then you've got Eugenia Roger and Haraya Takawa, who are well-known doubles players that have been around for quite some time. So a pretty good field, including Nenad Simonjic, who's still going. He must be. How old would he be?
Not sure.
Now, if Leander Paes is post-40, he'd have to be somewhere in that sort of generation, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think he'd be at least seem mid-30s. Great mixed doubles player too, that guy.
Absolutely. So that's the ATP World Tour Finals, of course, coming up in London starting tonight. This weekend we've also got the Fed Cup Final. It is Russia and the Czech Republic. One all overnight. Petra Kvitova 2-6, 6-1, 6-1 over Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. And Maria Sharapova, well, she really is carrying the racket.
She's doing what Andy Murray did.
Russia, 6-3, 6-4 over Karolina Pliskova. Let's hear from Kvitova first, the Czech number one. She recovered after a first set slump overnight to post a pretty strong victory. Let's take a listen.
It is very important. I mean, Karolina really have a game to beat Maria, but I think for her side it's a little bit easier situation to play when we are leading, and maybe for Maria it's a little bit more pressure. I know that she's handling well the pressure, but I think it's a little bit different, and I think that Karolina really has the game. You know what happened? It was nerves. I mean, it was really difficult for me to turn it around, and when I stepped on the court, I was very nervous, and I was so tired. My hands didn't fly that I wanted. My legs was very heavy, and I couldn't really move well, so that was the key, probably.
Thank you, Petra. Let's have a listen to Maria Sharapova. She put the hostile crowd environment behind her to record a big win heading into the reverse singles and the doubles coming up tonight our time.
It's an incredible atmosphere, and you know, you see a lot more Czech flags than Russians, but in my mind I just see red, white and blue, and I think that I turn it in my mind as they're Russian flags, and that's how I have to look at it. If I start thinking that everyone is cheering, you know, for the Czechs, that'd be pretty sad. So I just try to cheer myself up, and I know I have a strong team behind me. First match of a final, a Fed Cup. I felt like I was nervous throughout the whole match and made some errors at inappropriate times. But overall, just really happy that I could win. You have to give everything that you have, and I know both of us will, and that's the type of match that you want to see in the Fed Cup final.
Yeah, you can hear the atmosphere pumping away there in the background in the Czech Republic, and really it's going to come down to that reverse singles. Kvitova Sharapova, huge in deciding this title. We know the Czech Republic have had such great success over the years. Russia trying to claim the title for the first time in quite a while.
Sorry, mate, I missed that. Was the doubles just played, or
no? That's got to be played tonight.
That's what I.
So Fed Cup, they play it last.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Mm. And you would think that the Czechs are favourite for that with Safarova and Strikova in the doubles.
Barbora.
Yeah.
Yeah. She dumped the first name. We've been through that, haven't we?
She we got have. Divorced. We've been through that a few times.
Yep. But yeah. A few very players got divorced time. In 2015, but you never know who's going to hook up in the world of tennis. Hey, just before the break, Johnny Millman, one of our favourites, in another final today. Been watching a fair bit of the live streaming from Kobe in Japan, and he'll take on Taro Daniel, the fourth seed from Japan. That'll be the final later on today, around about 3 o'clock our time. So if he can win that, he's defending some points, obviously, Paul, at the moment. That'll keep him nicely consolidated inside that top 100.
Yeah, well, he's rebounded nicely, hasn't he, from the loss to the American in Canberra last week. Yep. So that's what you'd expect from him. I don't think the difference between his best and worst is terribly much with the way John Millman plays. So hopefully he can consolidate that top 100 spot.
Are you a beef man? You like your beef?
I love my beef.
Yeah, just don't go to Kobe in Japan, because I can tell you, mate, if you go over there where this tennis tournament is being played at the moment, have a listen to this. It is knives over forks here, as Kobe beef is prized the world over for its unique taste. I'd heard of Kobe beef before, but never tried any. This is a reporter who's over covering the Challenger event.
Wow.
Seems that the cows are given litres of beer to make them hungry, then massaged with sake to keep their muscles relaxed, and finally serenaded to sleep with classical music. Hell, it does not sound like too bad a life at all until you realise that eventually they'll get the nod from the butcher. $140 US for a steak.
Goodness.
Be fair to say the players weren't going there, because the prize money isn't quite at the level of the ATP World Tour Finals. They're just going down to the local pub for a can of meal.
There's some pretty good steak restaurants here, but I think that would have to take the cake, wouldn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
I mean, the knife must just glide through that meat.
140 for a steak in Kobe in Japan. There you go. Johnny Millman in the final. Good luck to him. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a chat to Alistair McDonald. He's the tournament director of the Apia International Sydney. You can join us too anytime. 9429 1116.
On 1116 SEN, you're listening to The First Serve, talking tennis, building up to the Australian Open 2016.
Welcome back, 26 past 11. Brett Phillips and Paul Aiken on this Sunday morning. Leighton Hewitt will be honoured at the Tour Finals. Yes, thank you, Eamon, from Chadston. And that news, I think, came through a few weeks ago, and rightly so. And he's going to be honoured in a big way, of course, at the Australian Open. G'day, Brett. Is it true if you win the Australian Under-18 Championships, you get straight into the main draw of the Australian Open, Steve, in Geelong? That isn't correct, but it normally gets you into the wildcard.
Correct. That's my understanding. Mm. Unless that... No, they wouldn't have changed that.
No.
No.
So I think, going back, Steve, the last few years, who won it last year? The under-18s, Mousley, did he win the year before? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head here.
I am too.
Having done the wildcard event, usually the young player who wins junior. The 18s will get a berth in the wildcard field of sort of 16 the week after.
Because it's such a jump to win the 18s boys and then going to play against mature athletes.
Indeed. Benny Mitchell's the other one who's in the final today. Won his first challenger in Canberra last week.
Yes, congratulations to him.
And he's in a futures final today in Wollongong. He's got Sebastian Farnslow, the German. So won his semi against a young man you know very well. You've done a lot of work with, Ruben Statham.
Yep.
6-1, 7-6 in the end. So a nice little patch here. He jumped about 58 spots winning that challenger last week, Benny.
Mm.
So it needs to go on a bit of a roll.
Well, I think the True Blue really suits his game. He's a bit of a flatter hitter of the ball, but very consistent, very, very fit. And it seems this time of the year he always starts to hit his straps, Ben Mitchell. So and he usually is fairly prominent in the wildcard playoff.
Yep. Yeah, it's he's at an interesting stage. We know that he's going to be a dad, which is a fascinating aspect of his own personal life at 22 years of age. And
correct.
His career, I suppose... we weren't quite sure where he was going to get to, and he was close at one stage of cracking the top 200, and he sort of dipped between 200 and 300 for the best part of the last probably couple of years.
Which you do see. It's very hard to make that ultimate jump into the top 100.
And how he sort of copes with that, knowing he's got a baby on the way next year and adjusting to being a tennis professional.
Goodness.
He's in great shape, and he's a great athlete. I mean, I've watched him play some outstanding tennis, really hunts down every ball, defends well, stays alive
in
points.
Yeah.
But whether he can kick on and have a great career, we'll have to wait and see.
Brother a soapy star as well on Home and Away or something?
Why are you saying that as if you know? I mean, you're all over now.
I thought that might
used
have been,
to be. Yeah. In Hollywood now. Yeah. He's gone on. Hey, let's preview one of the big tournaments, Paul, over the summer. It is the Apia International Sydney, the week leading up to the Australian Open, and the tournament director, Alistair McDonald, has been good enough to join us. Alistair, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Going well. Good to talk to you. As always, Sydney attracts a very good field, and certainly you've announced some of the most powerful women's players who will be playing in Sydney. That news coming through this week.
Yeah, we're really happy to have our defending champion back in Petra Kvitova, two-time woman and champion, and in the Fed Cup final now, actually. It won a piece with Russia, so I think she'll be, you know, she's going to be great. She's great with the fans and just a fantastic ball striker. And then now Darren Kale's pupil in Simona Halep is will be here as well, which is great. World number two, so fantastic to see Killer working with one of the elite female tennis players. And then good old Tammy Stosur's back, so let's hope she can have a good run through our event. But we're really excited with the women's field. And, of course, anyone who follows the APA International Sydney will know that we'll have some more women announcements, female players in the near future, and it will be one of the strongest events on the tour again this year.
And just
next year, sorry.
In regard to the men, have there been any official announcements on that?
No, we haven't, but we've been quite conscious of also going after some of the young guns on tour. So we really think on the men's side, given that the preparation of the Roger Federer's and co typically don't play our week, that we're looking towards the next generation. So I think in the next few weeks we'll announce some players, but it's going to be an outstanding crop of new talent. And anyone who wants to see, you know, who the next challenger is to Djokovic and these players, will see him at the APA International Sydney.
Alistair, the Legends event, I see here you've got McEnroe, Philippoussis, LeConte and Ivanisevic. What is the format for that? That looks some fantastic entertainment.
Yeah, we dipped our toe in the water last year and had McEnroe play Pat Rafter before the men's final. And it was great to just have we had a sold-out crowd at Sydney Olympic Park, which is the largest crowd since the Olympics. And it'd be fair to say it was an outstanding men's final, but given that we had two qualifiers in it, which is first time in ATP history, that match really was a great piece of entertainment for the crowd. So this year we've just extended it. So we've got Goran Ivanisevic playing Mark Philippoussis on Saturday night, and then on Friday night we've got John McEnroe playing Henri Leconte. So that's divided up by kind of age bracket, as well as we think on the Friday night with the difference in kind of personality between McEnroe and Leconte. Seen it before, it's quite an entertaining mix. So we're really excited about that opportunity with the Legends coming again. It should be fantastic entertainment. And so it's on the Friday and Saturday night. We pinch hit at 6 o'clock, so it's a fast four format. It's about a 45-minute, 50-minute match, and it's a real entertainment piece.
Yeah, look, anyone who hasn't seen Leconte play a match really should watch him. He is so entertaining.
Yeah, he's got a lot of flair, and he certainly doesn't mind getting the crowd involved. So there's no question he'll be
very
the favourite on that night.
Great stuff. Now, Alistair, obviously a lot of tennis fans at this time of the year, in January, like to travel around and sample some of the tournaments interstate. What's the sort of the best way to sort of find out more details regarding the APA International Sydney and how you can possibly come up and see some of the tennis?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the season starts with the Hopman Cup in Brisbane, and then we'll move on to our event with the APA International and the Hobart International. And you might have noticed last week we also launched the Fast Four in Sydney as well, which will be on again with Rafa Nadal headlining that act, and then on to the Australian Open. So obviously the APAinternationalsydney.com.au website and the other, the Tennis Australia website, will post you to the Australian Open or the Emirates Australian Open series, and people can get their tickets there. But I think it's going to be a great summer. So the Australian Open, I know they're tracking ahead on ticket sales, and hopefully we'll be right there in the mix as well.
Yeah, beauty. It's always a good week. Been to Sydney a couple of times, always a good field. And obviously a few late additions come in, just depending on players' preparations. Always a good Aussie contingent to watch on the main court and the outside courts up there out at Homebush. Alistair, all the best. Plenty of work to do before an official ball is hit, but already some big names announced with more to come.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Alistair McDonald, Tournament Director there of the APA International Sydney. Little teaser for what should be a great tournament in January. Let's have a chat to Vivian Christie, editor of the Australian Tennis Magazine, tennismag.com.au. You can save up to 30% and get the Australian Tennis Magazine delivered to your front door, right to your very, very own letterbox. Paul,
that's a
Viv,
bargain.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
I want to talk about Maria Sharapova. We were just mentioning before, Viv, she's on court, of course, during the Fed Cup final, won her singles match overnight, had a tough year with injury, but she's putting pen to paper.
She is. So we all know that Maria Sharapova has a lot of off-court interests. She's got her business interests and all sorts of things, but now she's turning her attention to writing. She's going to be writing her autobiography, so it's going to be released, I think, about a year or so from now. Yeah, so she's got a good story to tell, I'm sure.
Terrific stuff.
Viv, Brett and I were just chatting earlier in the show about Djokovic and perhaps why people around the world haven't really warmed to him like they do Nadal or Federer. What's your view on this?
Oh, gosh, I think it's a tough one. I mean, I think they should warm to him considering everything that he's achieving at the moment.
And absolutely.
He's just such a professional on the court and off it as well. But I think he's really a victim of his era. You know, he's living in the era of Roger Federer. And you know, he just seems to – everybody loves Roger, as we know. And, we saw it again with the ATP Fan Awards. You know, Roger was voted the fan favourite for the 13th straight year. So, you know, how do you possibly compete with that?
Yeah.
He got, I think Roger got 65% of the vote, and that was followed by Novak. Novak came in second. So there is some, Rafa came in second, and then it was Novak. So there is some love, but there's just a lot of competition.
Yeah, it's tough. And he's won the Stefan Edberg Sportsmanship Award for the ninth time. So what does Stefan now just solely vote for that, Viv?
It's quite funny. When he won it last year, we had a case of Stefan actually presenting him with that award at the ATP World Tour Finals. And, of course, Stefan's his coach now. So, you know, I think, you know, that's just getting better and better. And, you know, it's just an example of, you know, that's a peer-voted award as well. So it's just an example of how much the other players even love Roger as much as the fans do.
Absolutely. We were just touching on Simona Halep there with Darren Cahill and their partnership with Alistair McDonald. But and I saw, a bit of footage in Singapore of Darren sitting courtside with Simona, and she's had a bit of a tough end to the year, and maybe not her best year at Grand Slam level, but, gee, everything Darren Cahill touches normally turns to gold.
It's been a really interesting year for Simona, actually. She won three titles early. She won in Shenzhen, then Dubai, and her biggest title in Indian Wells. And then she didn't do very well by her standards at Roland Garros or Wimbledon. And then she teamed up with Darren sort of on a, you know, an informal arrangement, so to speak, through the Adidas Player Development Program. And he got her back to the US Open semifinals and to world number two. And now they've made it permanent, which I think is a really great move for her. She says that she loves his positive attitude most of all, and that he's really helped her with her self-belief. So it'll be interesting to see what happens through next year.
Viv, this week coming the Tour Finals. Anything that you can report there for us?
Oh, look, I mean, it's almost like it's going to be interesting to see who finishes runner-up at the Tour Finals in a way because, you know, what can you say apart from, you know, Novak being the obvious favourite considering, you know, he's won everything, he's reached every final he's played since early in the year. I mean, it's really hard to see how anything different can happen other than Novak winning. But, you know, still a lot of tennis to be played, so let's see what we're saying at this time next week.
And just to finish, I want to touch on Marion Bartoli, one of the most fascinating women in sport, in tennis. She wins Wimbledon a couple of years ago and just retires. I've been listening to her commentate this year. She's pretty exciting. Mm. She's full of colour. I just saw a video, Viv, before I came into the studios. I didn't recognise the current edition of Marion Bartoli.
Yeah, I wonder if you were as surprised as I was when I saw the latest photos of Marion. So she's been, you know, when she won Wimbledon, she had a lot of criticism for her fitness, lack of it, which was kind of unfair considering she just won, you know, one of the biggest titles that you could possibly win. But she's turned to fitness. Fitness is her off-court interest. She's released a training video.
Right.
And she has lost a lot of weight and totally changed her look. It looks very different. Well worth checking out online. And it makes you wonder, a few people are asking if she's actually preparing for a tennis comeback. I'm not so sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, Viv, she could maybe take on Ronda Rousey, did it. the UFC at Etihad today. She is looking in magnificent condition.
Oh, please. I must say.
Viv, always good to catch up with you. People, if you're not subscribing to the Australian Tennis Magazine, you should be. And the best way to do is go online, tennismag.com.au, subscribe, get it delivered to your front door. You can peel it open and just be immersed in the world of tennis. Good to talk to you.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Vivian Christie, editor of the Australian Tennis Magazine. We'll slip in a break. We'll come back. We're going to look at the Newcomb nominees and tell you who we think can win the most prestigious award in Australian tennis Monday week, of course, at Crown Casino. We'll also catch up with Marcel Petrisek from the Rosswood Tennis Club, Rob Peterson from Tennis Coaches Australia/Victoria. All to come. You can join us too, 9429 1116.
On 1116 SEN, you're listening to The First Serve, talking tennis, building up to the Australian Open 2016.
19 to midday, 9429 1116. You can call in and talk the world of tennis with us, Brett Phillips and Paul Aiken, all the way through to midday. And for all our callers, we will send you down to Melbourne Park for an Australian Open guided tour thanks to Tennis World. You too can have a Grand Slam experience with Tennis World. Court hire, coaching, function rooms and more. For all things tennis, visit tennisworld.net.au. Just locally, the other big tournament today is up in Bendigo, $50,000 ITF tournament. Unfortunately, from an Aussie perspective, Tammy Patterson knocked out in the semis yesterday. So it'll be an all Japanese final, which is not great for Australian women's tennis. But we know, Paul, it's not exactly flying at the moment, the state of women's tennis here, with a bit of room for improvement, would be fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. I think our depth does have some work to do there. But there were some good Japanese girls, I believe, that was a final in Canberra, only two, last week. So there are obviously some strong players out here.
Indeed. Okay, Newcomb nominees announced during the week, and I had a chat to the boys on the run home. Todd Woodbridge had a chat, of course, on air. If you've missed it, I'm sure you're across it if you're a tennis fan, but the US Open winner in the quad singles, Dylan Alcott, the breakthrough talent, Sam Groth, who we had here last week, rising star Tanasi Kokkinakis, the evergreen Sam Stosur, and double stars Casey Delacroix, who's made a couple of women's majors finals this year, and also John Peers has also made two major finals with Jamie Murray being named as finalist. It'd be fair to say, Paul, if Bernard Tomic was eligible, he just about ticks all the boxes from 56 to 18 in the world and what he's achieved. We can't talk about Bernard because he's been ruled out along with Nick Kyrgios. Look through that field for me and dissect who's going to win this year's Newcomb medal.
Yeah,
look, I reckon it's pretty hard.
Look, there's no doubt about it. Tomic's name would be written all over the trophy, but you can't bite the hand that feeds the mouth.
No.
It's as simple as that. And he's been funded by Tennis Australia for most of his professional life, and that's that. Kyrgios, we already know about that. He's lost his emotional state too many times on court to be worthy of an ambassador, which is part of the criteria.
In the sin bin for this year.
Groth, I think he mounts a very strong case in light of his Davis Cup heroics. Peers, a strong case as well, but I just don't think that doubles suits the profile of this award. And I think that's that's what I think. And Kokkinakis, great year, but I don't think he's done enough to win this award. Stosur, top 20, fantastic, but we can't keep going back to that well. She's won it twice, I think, and one of those times was when she did win the US Open. So we just expect more from Sam, don't we?
But on the other hand, she's maintained her ranking in the top 30.
Oh, exactly.
She's won two WTA tournaments. Mate. She's made fourth round of the US, third round of the French and Wimbledon.
She's a victim to the standards that she set in the past, though.
This is why it's a hard award, because the criteria is outstanding on-court deeds and being a great ambassador for the sport off-court.
That's the key word.
Now, the select group of selectors go into a room, and we're not privy to any of those conversations.
No, we're not.
So the criteria is not a sort of a 10-point criteria here. And it's interesting you say about Stosur, because you could mount an argument to say, well, with Bernard Tomic not eligible, she's maintained her position as our number one ranked female player.
Correct.
Tough to stay as she's getting older in the top 30 of women's tennis and still winning a couple of tournaments per year, which is not a bad effort. They're not easy to win.
No.
And I think without us knowing the full criteria and whether they think it's a singles award or a doubles award, I think predominantly this is a singles award.
Yes.
Unless John Peers or Casey had had outstanding years with their partners and won two or three majors, then they mount a pretty good case.
Well, I think they should give it to Dylan Alcott.
Do you?
I think that's the positive story. He's battled through adversity. I think he's a smoky, and I think he oozes inspiration.
Well, he won a gold medal in basketball, didn't he?
That's right. Another Olympic Games. He's had a transfer from another professional sport, so good on him.
So you reckon Dylan Alcott, you'd go for him to win the Newcombe medal?
I would.
9-4-2-9-11-16, weigh in, have your say on it. I look at the field, and probably with Bernard out, I think probably Sam probably deserves to win it, but I agree, I don't think they'll go Sam, which makes it a really hard award to choose because they'll say, well, Sam's won this too many times, we've got to have a new name up there.
That's right.
Even though technically she's probably had a better year than the other nominees.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm, interesting. There you go. We can debate that.
We can.
For a while. 9-4-2-9-11-16 if you want to weigh in as to who will win the Newcombe medal. Monday week, of course, at Crown Casinos. We'll have more on that next Sunday. But close to home, Paul, we always like to pump up the local tennis clubs. And the winner of last year's Tennis Australia State and National Open Day prize is back with another enormous family fun day. It's the Rosswood Tennis Club, and their head coach, Marcel Petresic, joins us on the line. G'day, Marcel.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good to talk to you. You've got a big family day coming up next Sunday, so we wanted to give it a nice early plug for you because you're really trying to get more people involved in the great sport of tennis.
Yes. I have to double-check that one. Not next Sunday, the Sunday after, so 2 weeks from now, 29th November. We have a big open day, 11 till 2 p.m.
Pardon me. I'm a week ahead of time. I just can't wait for Christmas, Marcel. My apologies.
No, it's good. We'll give people 2 weeks. That's good. Give it a little bit of time. Look, we're going to have a lot of things going on there. We've got ANZ Hot Shots on two courts with the coaches there on all the modified tennis balls and rackets and stuff like that. Basically, a jumping castle for kids of all ages. Barbecue, a speed surf course, which will be giving out prizes for people who can, you know, pump down some big serves, a Sam Groth style, face painting station, which the girls do really, really well. So all ages, and, you know, not necessarily, you don't have to maybe play tennis or have played tennis before. We're just basically trying to get the community involved and maybe do other things. Maybe if you're not comfortable with maybe grabbing a racket and having a hit, jump and, you know, have a barbecue, see what it's about, or, you know, bring the kids, do a bit of face painting and, you know, just have a bit of fun, family fun day out. At the same time, there is stuff for adults. So we're doing cardio tennis in one court with one of my coaches. He's pretty hardcore, so really, really good workout. Balloon animals for the kids, like a clown there with all that kind of stuff. Hit the raffle, hit the target, raffle, coffee van. So it's all happening. It's a really, really big day. There's a lot of planning, and so it should be really fun.
I'll tell you, if your clown pulls out, Paul's very good at dressing up, Marcel, so he could easily
thank you,
come
BP,
as the clown.
Thanks. Throw me under the bus, mate. Marcel, I reckon I've played at 80% of tennis clubs in Melbourne over my time. I'm getting pretty old. The tennis club at Rosswood, tell us where that is. Our producer at the back, who's fantastic, reckons he's played there. Or you?
Yeah, it's we're a little bit hidden. That's basically where we had a bit of an issue last couple of years because we're so hidden. A lot of people don't really know where we are. So we're in Dandenong North, right next to the big Turchuan Parkland, Somerset Drive.
Excellent.
Six tennis courts there, and basically last year we're at an all-time low with membership-wise, and we're a little bit of a tough position. So we basically had a plan with the committee to get this huge open day going. And we had 250 people there last year, and we're trying to beat it this year. So,
beauty.
So it's and we know winning the Community Sports Club of the Year award was fantastic. Part of the Great Dandenong Council, that was just unbelievable for us. For a medium sized club that was a month away from closure, is huge for us. So we're a little bit hidden, but we're sort of around Somerset Drive, Brady Road, Outlook Drive, and Dandenong North. Those kind of areas.
Just a question about the club, Marcel. I'm involved in coaching myself. What's the niche of the club? Is it juniors? Is it ladies? Veterans?
Yeah, good question. We basically coach your hotshots kids. So majority of our kids are, you know, sort of grade 3, grade 4 kind of age. So year 7, 8, 9 years old kind of thing.
Fantastic.
And then we've got a few groups, which is sort of your squad kids, which are, you know, 12, 13. And then we've got the once-a-week cardio, which we do on Thursday nights at 6:30 for the adults. So But majority, you know, so 80% is young kids that are primary school age.
Great stuff. Rosswood Tennis Club, as Marcel said, 112A Somerset Drive down there in Dandenong North. Their big family day. It is Sunday, the 29th of November, 11 a.m. through till 2 p.m. And it should be a great day out there, and hopefully you can get a few more than last year. Marcel, we'll keep in touch, and
awesome.
We'll see if we can make contact on the day, and never know, we might get down there as well. We'll come back to you on that one.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, guys. Take
Marcel
care.
Petresek there from the Rosswood Tennis Club. We'll take a break. Robert Peterson from Tennis Coaches Australia Victoria is our special guest coming up next, and your calls up until midday. Who wins the Newcombe medal? Paul's gone Dylan Alcott.
I'm going to stick with that. Yeah, the guy's won Grand Slam singles.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yes. I don't know.
Present your Newcombe case.
Medal?
Phone in.
9429 1116. With Bernard not eligible, it's a wide, varied field. And there's no absolute standout nominee. So
no.
Fascinating to hear. Love to be a fly on the wall inside the meeting to decide the winner.
Yeah, Bernard, if you just had have stopped that press conference.
Yeah.
And or maybe the partying that he had in Miami. Didn't.
Well, that was a big article on the Age yesterday. Linda Pierce, of course, award-winning Linda Pierce.
Absolutely.
Bernard just saying that none of that was his fault. So it's all good. 9 to 12, back in a moment.
On 11.16 SEN, you're listening to The First Serve, talking tennis, building up to the Australian Open 2016.
Welcome back. Sunday Sports Central coming up after midday. Good to see the Rosswood Tennis Club kicking on. My dad started the club. First president, good luck. Keep up the good work on the SMS. Great to catch up with Marcel Petresek just a few moments ago. I received a letter. I don't receive too many letters, Paul, here at SEN. It took about 3 months to get to me because I'm not here all the time.
Do tell.
But Robert Peterson sent in a terrific letter, board member for, of course, Tennis Coaches Australia Victoria, who have partnered with the United States Professional Tennis Association. They also have a great relationship with Tennis Australia. To explain more about it, Robert's been good enough to join us on the phone. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Going well, I believe you just stepped off court.
I have stepped off court. I'm actually just watching. I've stepped off court. I've got my Hot Shots kids out in front of me, so it's a beautiful afternoon or late morning at Heathmont Tennis Club.
Magnificent. You've got a fairly broad resume. Of course, a contemporary of Paul McNamee and Peter McNamara. You've coached and played for a long time. Victorian schoolboys singles champion back in 1972, Paul. So a very good resume.
Very
for
strong
Robert.
Tournament,
Robert,
too.
We've only got a few minutes. Just explain a little bit more about Tennis Coaches Victoria and the great partnerships that you do have.
Well, the TCAV was formed in 1956 and provided coach education, looked after tennis coaches in this state until 2006, when our good friends at Tennis Australia indicated they wanted to get involved with coach education. We thought long and hard at the TCAV as to whether or what we should do, and decided to withdraw our relationship or our alignment with TCA, which was made up of all the state bodies, and align with TA, because we felt that they would provide the best resources and best opportunities for our coaches. That was in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that we wanted to still operate and provide, relationship resources and work with Victorian coaches, but Tennis Australia, we had 900 coaches at the time, and we were the first body that actually liaised and worked with TA. So that's what happened in 2006. We're still operating. Our membership is a little less. Having said that, we're looking to provide additional benefits to our coaches, and each year one of our coaches gets an opportunity to go to a conference in the US.
Yes.
Whether it be the USPTA World Conference or the USTA Championship around the Australian US
right.
Open.
Beautiful.
So that's what happened, and I went to three USPTA conferences and met with the CEO, John Embry, back in 2013, commenced dialogue, looking at providing further benefits for our coaches, and where we're at today, TCAV member with a Tennis Australia club professional qualification or above can become a member of the USPTA without any further study. So we think that's a pretty good benefit. as well as the other benefits we provide.
Rob, I was I got my coaching license from the TCAV in 1993, and it was just a fantastic organisation. They really were trailblazers for tennis coaching in this this country. How do you think coaching has changed in the last couple of years?
Well, obviously the game has evolved, so tennis coaching has evolved with it. Tennis Australia does a fantastic job. Their courses, obviously, a lot of their courses followed on what we've done at Tennis Coaches Australia. But I think the conference that around the Australian Open is a fantastic forum each year. And I think that coaches need to upskill. Hence, that was the reason we provide an opportunity for one coach to go to a conference in the state.
Great Indeed. Stuff. Thank you, Rob. We're going to have to leave it there. News is on our doorstep. We'll certainly have another chat down the track, but check it out. Tennis Coaches Australia Victoria. It's a great setup. Robert Peterson, who's doing some great work on and off the court. TCAV.com.au. Log on. Thank you, mate.
Thank you, BP.
Good to see you back in your normal clubber.
Indeed.
Sunday Sports Central coming up next.